For the fifth word, we focus on John chapter 19, verses 28 to 29. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on the hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. This is the word of the Lord. All right. First off, good afternoon, church. And I specifically say good afternoon, church. I don't say right now good afternoon, Second Reformed Church, or the collection of other churches that are here. I say good afternoon, church. I don't say good afternoon, black church. I don't say good afternoon, white church, or Asian church, or Hispanic church. I say good afternoon, church. I didn't say good afternoon, church, for the elderly, the middle-aged, or for the young. I say good afternoon, church. I say good afternoon, I don't say good afternoon for the church, for the people who have been church for a while, for the people who have just gotten to know Christ. I say good afternoon, church. Because today I see a beautiful collection of sinners right here. I see amongst us all beautiful sinners, yes. I see the sinner in front of me, I see the sinner within me. And here I see a collection of pastors as well. And I love the fact that Reverend Duane and Reverend Anna specifically chose and called each and every one of us to preach and share the gospel here. Today, the sermons could have been very, very similar, even though we have a different focus for each of us. Yet all of us, because we experience the gospel differently, in our different contexts, in the way that we've been brought up, we are able to share a different way in which we hear the word of God, and then we share the word of God back onto you. So for all of us to come together as the church, we need to come with a spirit of humility, knowing that all of us come here today knowing we need the cross. We have to come with this humility, knowing that all of us desperately need that cross before us. And for me, I know that cross, it is there for me to pay the price of my sins. I know for the cross is there for me to pay the price of my racial bias and my own racism. I know that for me, the cross is there to pay the price for my pride and my stubbornness in ministry. I know that the cross is there to pay the price for my own lust and my greed and my desire to not trust the Lord. What is the cross here for you for? Because the cross means different things for different people. For some, it can be a fashion statement on your necklace. For some, it is just a sign that they imagine of church. And for some, it is about guilt and shame. And for some, it is about life and resurrection. The cross is all of these things, hopefully not as much the fashion statement for us, but it is about who we are just as much who Jesus is. Because we are defined by the cross, because our lives are defined by Jesus' actions. We are defined by the cross because our lives revolve around what Jesus did on the cross, because his entire life and his entire ministry was centered around this very moment. The cross for Jesus was the place for him to pay the price of the church's sin. So while Jesus met the woman back at the well in John 4, he was thinking of the cross because he knew that she needed salvation. He knew that this was a woman who was looking in all the wrong places and in all the wrong people for a personal salvation. Yet because she met him and because she received the good news and she got to know Jesus Christ personally, she went on to share with others about who Jesus is, only increasing the number of the people who needed Jesus' salvation. When Jesus encountered Zacchaeus, he challenges what others says is okay and instead chooses to meet the very person that probably needs him the most. So when Jesus entered Zacchaeus' home, he showed this unconditional, this transformational love of God. And because Jesus enters the home, eats with him, and forgives Zacchaeus and gives him new life and new purpose, Zacchaeus himself was transformed, and he shared this radical love by giving away more than what he owed back to the people he stole from. Because Jesus encountered just one person, he ministered to multiple people. This is the nature of Jesus' life and ministry. He transforms one life, but through that one life, he transforms more. And throughout every encounter, he knows that this encounter is not a complete unless the work is done on the cross. So at the cross, he sees the woman at the well. He sees Zacchaeus. He sees you. He sees me. But he also sees the tens and hundreds and thousands of people that we will all encounter with and hopefully share the gospel with. He sees you, but he also sees the people that we will share and we will bless with the word of the Lord. So then on that cross, he thinks of all the people who need a salvation, but also all the people that we will meet. So as his hands, his legs, and his side are pierced, he knows that it has now been finished so that scripture would be fulfilled. Then Jesus says, I thirst. Reminder, in the moments before crucifixion, Jesus is actually offered wine, but he refuses it. He knows that this sacrifice is a call from God. It's not meant to be dulled at this moment. So then why does it seem like Jesus changes his mind and asks for some pain management through the wine? No, this wine vinegar was far more vinegar than and really had no alcohol left. In fact, it was mostly a vinegar beverage that soldiers drank instead of this contaminated water that would be accessible for them. And this is for quenching their thirst. Jesus' thirst was his final moment of his humanity before the cross. His last human need was thirst before he would die and resurrect. This last piece of humanity was a reminder to us that Jesus lived his life as fully God, but as fully human as well. And he felt our pains, and he felt our human needs. We have a God in heaven who knew what it was like to be human. Our comfort on the cross, then, is that we know of our God in heaven who knows what it means to thirst, to physically thirst, to physically need things in our lives, but also to desire things that are beyond what God gives us sometimes. In the final human need, he commits his spirit to the Lord and then receives something far better than wine vinegar. He commits himself to the very living water that he spoke about to the woman at the well. And this living water of the Holy Spirit is the only thing that will quench his thirst and our thirst. Jesus reminds us that living water will be the only thing that truly satisfies us in this world. So when we look to the cross now, do you only see guilt? Do you only see shame? And do you only see death? Yes, there is guilt for our sins and there is shame for our mistakes and our actions that led to his death. But yet, we should now thirst and believe in something far better. We should thirst for living water every day. We should thirst for his word. We should thirst for more of Jesus. And just like Christ, our lives are now resurrected to a new life in him, where we are clothed in white and become adopted sons and daughters of the utmost King. The cross then now becomes a sign of holiness, a royal priesthood, a new life in the Lord. And my hope and prayer for all of us is that we would now thirst for something far more than what the world can offer. Amen.